I'm Frank Vaughn. It is February 4th, 2025, the day after Trudeau's capitulation. And one of my followers and somebody I follow, Debbie, says, "What happened while we were distracted by the tariff? Nothing." And I seek to answer that today. It certainly wasn't what this fella says. Bad take. One day of market volatility and old man Trump caved. You don't think the billions of liquor being boycotted didn't have an effect? The deal was in place in December. The Yanks are the Goombas. First off, no liquor was ever boycotted. They just created a bunch of work for liquor store workers all around this country who had to take all the liquor off the shelves, which was already purchased, and now they're going to put it back on the shelves. As confirmed by the fearful and nervous, compromised, and I would argue election-stealing premier of British Columbia, a hub of the corruption in Canada, their ports are wide open. And those precursor chemicals we're talking about all the time, that drug trade, it's coming through Vancouver ports, and we're going to get into that next. British Columbia Premier David Eby states liquor from red states will be put back on the shelves, but they won't be rushing to do it. Anybody who thinks that Trump didn't win here is delusional. And if you think a 1% or 2% drop in the Dow Jones in one day is enough to move a president to capitulate, you're not very familiar with markets. This is just a normal day's trading. Shorts made some money. End of story. Meanwhile, the Canadian dollar was in free fall and the US dollar was gaining strength. That's all you really need to know. Canada was about to get crushed. That's why we capitulated. And we're going to talk about that capitulation and how important it is, because I'm not seeing too many people actually reading into the decisions that have been made and understanding what's happening. Health officer advises BC to offer smokable fentanyl and report backing safer supplies. This is from a year ago. This is the province that Eby runs. This is the province where the ports are wide open and all the drugs and all the chemicals are coming into Canada for manufacture. Government of Canada supports four safer supply drug supply projects in British Columbia. So just so you understand, it's not just the provinces. The federal government under Trudeau and Singh wants to build what they call a safe supply network, that is legal drug labs, to hand out drugs to addicts on the street. They want to decriminalize hard drugs. They want to give addicts drugs to use. They want to give them a place to use them. And they call this compassionate, and they call it a pathway to getting these people off these drugs. And just when you think BC can't get any more disgusting, safer snorting kits handed out at BC High School after drug presentation. The kit includes straws and wallet-sized cards for cutting powdered drugs into snortable lines, as well as a booklet on staying safe when you're snorting. Have condoms and lube with you. You may want to have sex while you're high. Yeah, in the back alley or camped out behind the hydro tower where nobody can find you. Make sure you have your can of lube, because that's all that's ahead for you as an addict, created and supplied by the BC government, just like that song, Semi-Charmed Kind of Life. Nice, happy, boppy song, right? It's about meth addiction. Pop culture. Reads one tip. Another advises the drug user to decorate their snorting equipment. Adding a personal touch to your snorting equipment will help you better recognize your own when using with others. This is a meme. Go ahead and try and debunk it. I challenge you. Everything stated in this meme is fact. Today in BC, they are handing out safer snorting kits to children as young as 15. Do you understand when at least 10 to 12% of a nation's wealth is derived from criminality? This is exactly what you would predict to see. Now, I don't just want to pick on BC. Let's be fair. The entire country has a problem. The federal government is rife with corruption. They've enabled this problem. It took Trump getting upset for Canada to try and do anything, even signal that they're going to do anything about the drug problem right here at home. Keep in mind, all these articles I'm showing you shows how Canada supports and enables meth heads, fent zombies, and every other kind of addiction. They want you addicted to drugs, period. All their actions equal that. This is the headline from the National Post: U.S. tariffs on hold for 30 days after Canada commits to beefing up border security. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit. But first, we're going to go to the president, and we're going to look at what he got. Canada will implement their $1.3 billion border plan. This border plan has been on the books for about 2 months, and they will step it up. They will increase the speed with which it is deployed. And as per Prime Minister Trudeau, he's not calling him governor for now, we'll be reinforcing the border with new choppers, technology and personnel, enhanced coordination with our American partners, and increased resources to stop the flow of fentanyl. Nearly 10,000 frontline personnel are and will be working on protecting the border. In addition, Canada is making new commitments to appoint a fentanyl czar. We will list cartels as terrorists. That means Canada will list cartels as terrorists and ensure 24/7 eyes on the border. Launch a Canada-U.S. joint strike force to combat organized crime, fentanyl, and money laundering. Everybody who told you it wasn't about drugs and money laundering, they lied to you. I didn't lie to you. They lied to you. They're still misleading you. They're saying Trump capitulated after everything I've showed you. He now has American oversight of our law enforcement. That's what Canada-U.S. Joint Strike Force means. This is a foot in the door. So we may be deploying troops to our border to secure it, to stop the flow of fentanyl, but we're also going to have Americans coordinating on this side of the border. It's a foot in the door. And as it says right here, we gave all of this away and we only have 30 days. Trudeau has a lot to do in 30 days. He might need to invoke the Emergencies Act to get it done. Or he may need to call Parliament back and trigger an election, potentially. Singh has to do it, and he's a coward. He changes like the wind. So we don't actually know if he'll trigger an election in the midst of all this. So if I could be forgiven for allowing myself the luxury of a colloquial, when you see moronic takes like this online, regardless of the size of account, let them know how horribly misguided they are. Premier Legault, this is the Premier of Quebec, when questioned about pipelines following the announcement of a 30-day suspension of tariffs, stated there is no intention to revive the Energy East project. In the midst of this national crisis, the Quebecois want you to know that you can pound sand if you think anybody's going to do anything in this country to make Canada a stronger, more whole nation. They will oppose you every step of the way because they like it this way. They like the Federation ripping off the West. They like you as a citizen having no real say in your government. You get to mark an X. As I said, there's a whole series of videos before this tariff stuff. You should go back and watch them because I highlighted how you as a citizen here in Canada have no power. Your franchise is marking an X. And then after that, you have no expectation that the government you elect is going to do what they say they're going to do. We have a body of senators. They're appointed by the government and they serve until they're 75. You have no ability to pull them down. You have a judiciary that's overrun by the progressive left. The Senate is stacked by Justin Trudeau with leftist radicals that will oppose any agenda. I still intend to vote for Pierre Poilievre. I think he's in a better position to do something about domestic drugs, to do something about the rampant criminality in our country. Because everything that Trudeau is talking about with Trump is focused on stopping the flow to the United States and from the United States. It's not focused on ending safe supply. It's not focused on ending needle exchange programs. It's not focused on dealing with bail conditions where somebody can go out and commit a violent offense, drugged out of their mind, and they can expect to be out of jail the next morning. It's not doing anything about soft sentencing and the way that we use a lens of race when it comes to crime. If you have more skin pigment and you commit a violent crime, you can expect to be turned loose because of that skin pigment. We have a real justice problem here. And Pierre Poilievre, and this is one of those things I talked about, my life will improve under him if he gets his way. He'll enforce the law. He'll put criminals in jail. He'll shut down the safe supply. He'll shut down the drug dens. He's been very public about that, and we need that kind of leadership. Now, people will criticize him, and I appreciate it, that he didn't say enough or on this tariff thing, that he almost hung himself out to dry. Luckily, Doug Ford hung himself out further. Like, you ever see that meme where there's a crowd of people and one person steps forward bravely and they get hit by a bus? That's Doug Ford. So he took the damage for the entire so-called right in this country. But the fact of the matter is, Poilievre emerges from this relatively unscathed politically. He is a politician, folks, trying to win an election, trying to cobble together a majority government out of this electorate, which is profoundly broken, and at least 60% of the people in this country absolutely hate Trump, even though he's done more good for this country in the last 48 hours than the entirety of the time that Justin Trudeau has been in office. He motivated Trudeau to actually take some concrete steps. We need a change of government. Polyev could disappoint everybody. I think he's going to do what he says he's going to do. You can argue it's not enough. I can make the same argument. We need an election and we need a changing of the guards to interface with Trump and maybe actually clean up our streets domestically. But all that being said, I don't have any hope that Pierre Polyev is going to fix the problem with Confederation. That's down to the provinces making a lot of noise about how unfair a deal this entire country actually is. And people need to wake up to that. Quebec is always going to stand in the way. They're the enemy of Canada, period. And a lot of people aren't going to like that, but that's the way it is. They're about themselves. They're not about this country. And statements like this put paid to that. Now, Polyev, just one final point. He can do everything that he says he's going to do. Because even if he didn't want to, the Senate is likely going to oppose him on most of the important changes that he could make. So he can lead very strongly and still have someone to blame when some of his ideas fail. So there's no need for him to actually lie to you. Every incentive that he has right now with the statements that he is making lean towards him keeping his word. Now, you as a Canadian voter, you have no guarantees. You literally have to vote for who you trust. And you haven't really been able to trust politicians for at least the last 10 years. But we got to give it a shot. But in a sense, you can look at it as a throwaway vote. There is no long-term federal solution to the problems with Confederation. If you care about that subject, focus your efforts on the provinces. And now for a few user comments that bring up some important themes I want to touch on. We have Jed Engineer, right on, Frank. The Canadian politicians just kicking the security can down the road. A one-month reprieve. I hope the incoming U.S. cabinet make public the criminality of the Canadian politicians. Highlights a really good point. We can't actually trust the governments in most of the provinces and at the federal level to do what they say they're going to do. After all, they're the ones that told you there was no massive criminality problem. They're the ones denying the entire thing, even though the truth comes out of their own agencies and is mainstream news. They created the circumstances, then they denied it when Trump pointed it out, and now they're taking massive and expensive action to deal with a problem that they denied existed. Isn't that fun? We have an individual man. It was stated in no uncertain terms in Trump's executive order, Section 3A in particular. Did anyone bother to read it? Further, the information about cartels and organized crime is easily available on government and RCMP websites. Anyone bother with those? We are sheep. Well, individual man, we are not sheep, but there are sheep out there and they're getting sheared constantly, not just through taxation, but through the destruction of their society. Everything that underpins a good and functional, healthy society is under attack by these people. And no, nobody read the executive order, or those who did read it thought that Trump wasn't being straightforward. And this is an ongoing issue. People say that you shouldn't take Trump seriously. But you really should. Yes, he exaggerates. Yes, he's braggadocious. He drops lines to get attention so that he gets eyeballs on the things he says. That's why he's such a magnet for the media. He's such a magnet for everybody. If you hate him, you can't stop looking at him. But what he says in the executive order should be taken deadly seriously. And you should read them. You'll be better informed than if you're getting your information from the mainstream media. Bob Private says, the third stage is connect. Now, he's referring to something I said in my first video yesterday where I talked about J.D. Vance spelling out three stages of action with the Canadians, with our country. And the third stage, he didn't specify what that meant. And I said, it's kinetic, because it is. Contingency plans are already underway. It's no coincidence that 20,000 troops have been recalled from Europe. The Americans are bringing their forces home because they are concerned, primarily under Trump, with securing the Western Hemisphere. It's the new Monroe Doctrine unfolding before your eyes. Or that U.S. senators are openly talking about issuing letters of marque against the cartels. Letters of marque. That's an interesting term. To just simplify things, the cartels are being declared terrorists. Hegseth at the Department of Defense is talking about bombing areas of Mexico to get rid of the cartels. If the cartels control our ports, if the cartels control our politicians, the foreign interference that we know is going on from China, we know that this country is incredibly corrupt. Watch my other videos on this subject. Canada is not exempt from what the United States is about to do. They intend to deconstruct a global empire in drugs and money laundering, and Canada is its hub. The beginning of this video, I talked about how we're going to have American boots on the ground here in Canada. DEA agents, oversight from the federal government, we don't know. Reconnaissance flights from the American Air Force, possibly on the table. It's a foot in the door. We only have 30 days to show progress. After that 30 days, Trump's going to be back with more demands. I don't believe, moving on to our next comment, maybe you're the one who needs to listen. This is about Trump wanting to annex Canada. He wasn't joking about the 51st state. And my response was, I didn't say that he was. He's serious. There are people who say that the 51st state talk is just talk. It is the last step. Now, whether or not we get to that last step is going to be determined by the actions our federal government and our provincial government make. But they're being very clear. Senators talking about letters of mark, the executive orders talking about terrorism, labeling the cartels terrorists, Hegseth talking about bombing. We now have the Canadian government scrambling to do the bidding of Donald Trump. After denying a problem exists, they're now acknowledging it with 10,000 feet on the ground on the border. Think about that. And we only got 30 days reprieve. We're on a short leash. We are now under the auspices of American oversight. Back to Private Bob's comment about contingency plans, about letters of mark, all the things I've highlighted. It actually gets worse. Executive Order 13,818. It was signed on December 20th of 2017 during Trump's first term. The purpose is the order aims to implement the Global Magnitsky Human Rights Accountability Act by targeting individuals and entities involved in serious human rights abuses or corruption worldwide. This includes actions like extrajudicial killings, torture, or other gross violations of human rights, human trafficking, something Canada is renowned for as well as significant acts of corruption. If in my work, the previous bunch of videos, I haven't brought to light to you the fact that Canada's entire being is between 10 and 20% derived from corruption, I don't know how to communicate it any more effectively. This executive order targets us. And what are the remedies in the executive order that's still on the books? Biden didn't get rid of it. This is still at Trump's disposal. Sanctions. It authorizes the U.S. Treasury Office of Foreign Assets Control to impose sanctions on designated individuals or entities. These sanctions typically include blocking of all property and interests in property that are in the United States or come within the United States, prohibition on persons from engaging in transactions with sanctioned parties. And it has global reach, unlike previous sanctions, which were often country-specific. EO 13818 has a global scope, allowing for sanctions against anyone, anywhere in the world, who meet the criteria set out in the order. Your federal government meets the criteria spelled out in the order. The cartels that are running this country, running our ports, meet the criteria spelled out in this order. Is it possible that Donald Trump sat down with Justin Trudeau and explained that all the assets that Canadian government officials or all the assets of those involved could be seized by the United States in America? All of the things, and in my previous video, I talked about other emergency orders. I talked about different acts that the United States has at their disposal. I talked about all of the various swords of Damocles, legalistically, that hang over Canada right now. And nobody's doing this deep analysis. Nobody's telling you how the legal pretexts and justifications are already there for a kinetic response against Canada if we do not play ball. It's not a conspiracy theory. I've just read you the law. Little Pink Dot says, I have a question. If Trump has all the evidence of the cartels and money laundering in Canada, why doesn't he just publicly reveal it? People need to know. It is publicly revealed. It's in the mainstream media. If I can find it, anyone can find it. So the Americans have much better information than I do. Why doesn't he say it publicly? Look at what he's getting done via his current strategy. He could go out there and he could blaze this, but the Canadian public might be even more resistant to the truth than they are now. This information is pretty big in scope when you understand that Canada as an entity is thoroughly corrupted, that we've enabled a drug empire of global scale. If you don't think that's true, go watch my previous work. Try and contest what I'm showing you. It's there for public consumption. Yet 60% of Canada, at a minimum, is resistant to this information. Look at what's happening. Look at the actions taken. This is a slow, step-by-step process. This is Trump's story to tell. It's his initiative to take. He is in full control at the moment. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Trudeau bent the knee. He kissed the ring. He's trying to save his own skin. And we'll see if we get an election. We need a change of leadership. I think we're going to get one. I think we're going to get one soon. But we'll see. Floaty Ghost says, congratulations on being spot on. Let's see how this plays out this year. I wonder if our fentanyl borders are, will actually have teeth. This is a big issue. This is why we need American oversight, because you cannot trust the federal government. Trump only has 4 years. We have to actually take action. We have agencies. Let's talk about FinTrack for a minute. This agency has 500 employees. They're tasked with, it says Safe Canadian Secure Economy, but their big thing is money laundering. They've been around for over a decade. They have a huge budget, over $1 billion a year. In their lifetime, they have prosecuted, how many cases do you think? 1,000 cases? 500 cases? 10. 10 prosecutions. $1 billion a year budget. There's something wrong. There's probably good people working there. But what's going on? They're doing all this data collection. If you've bought or sold a house, you're listed in FinTrack. If you've bought and sold more than $10,000 worth of gold or silver, you've had to deal with FinTrack. If you've done any crypto trading, you have a file at FinTrack. Yet they've only prosecuted 10 cases. And underneath the noses of all these agencies that are supposed to be looking for this stuff, hundreds of billions of dollars a year in money laundering is going on in Canada. Hundreds of billions of dollars in drug money is trading hands. Why? The answer is self-evident. And in the face of the hours of evidence that I've provided you, the hours of detail, the nuance, the understanding of the law, the understanding of what's happened, we're faced with a plague of this. Gavin Pichetti, holy shite, he stole the entire conservative platform from Daniel Smith and Pierre Polyev. I don't have a problem with people engaging in this lowbrow, knuckle-dragging idiocy. These takes are so superficial. There's so many people out there who do so much talking when they really should be doing a lot less talking and a lot more learning. What concerns me is the engagement that this stuff gets. There's a whole lot of people out there who are proud to parade their ignorance before the eyes of the world. They're addicted to the dopamine hits. They're addicted to the attention. And they don't understand that they could get a semblance of that attention. If that's what they're really all about, they could get that attention by doing the work as well. But they're lazy. They don't want to do the work. They don't want to come to a full understanding. These are the people who crowd into hockey arenas and boo a national anthem and think that they are doing something. These are the people who are missing the mass casualty event right before our eyes, underneath our noses, that is happening all across Canada in this drug plague that we're dealing with and exporting, not just to the United States, but to Australia and the world. Good old Canuck says, so many Canadian families destroyed by opioids, and I would add meth. And it takes Trump to actually do something about this. Trump is actually more pro-Canada than our politicians. And I said, this is what makes me outraged. I've watched this destroy people I love. And on the one hand, they made their choice. But on the other, it was allowed to get this way, encouraged, in fact. There's been a couple people who said I was pretty angry yesterday in my short video. And I was. I decided to film my reaction. I felt that. I blew my voice out yelling at the microphone. I don't know how you can look at these things and not lose a little bit of your composure. Why are people so afraid of righteous fury and justified anger? I've watched drugs tear through people I love and destroy them. And on the one hand, I've always maintained they make their choice. They put themselves and their addiction ahead of society, ahead of their families, ahead of doing what's right. They're selfish, addicted people. They're not just victims. And I maintain that. But on the other hand, you have an environment that has been encouraged and created by the state. And if you don't want to believe the evidence that the government of Canada is massively corrupt and that the banks launder money and do all these things they've been caught doing and that the ports are wide open and they don't catch any of this stuff coming in, if you don't want to believe that that is signs of massive corruption, I guess that's for you to believe. But look around you. Look at the tent cities. Look at the fence zombies. Look at the meth heads. Look at Safe Supply. Look at what I showed you about Ebby. It's not just Ebby doing this sort of stuff. This is a political disease that wants to encourage addiction, and they use Orwellian doublespeak saying that Safe Supply, Safe Injection are actually helping people get off the drugs. So on the one hand, if you're an addict, it is your fault. On the other hand, the state's made it easy for you to choose to be an addict. And if that doesn't make you angry sometimes, you have no heart. And this comment from a longtime viewer, Faye Knox, she's been with me a long time. Carney scares me. And I said to her, Pierre is getting his shot, and he is. But Carney could still be with us in 2028 when whatever comes after Trump comes. You need to understand that Trump's only got 4 years so far. I mean, they could do a constitutional amendment. I don't know if that's likely, but they could. But Trump's got 4 years left, and we don't know what the American electorate's going to do. So the corrupt people in Canada who like the status quo could hit the pause button only to ramp things up. This is why we need a government, a new government, that will deal with the domestic side, start putting people in jail, clean up the streets, and get tough on addiction and crime. We need that kind of leadership so that in 2028, we have less of a challenge trying to maintain the gains that we've made. The pressure's on. The time is now. And the fight, my friends, it never ends. There's no end point. A leader can lead you very well. Things can improve. But if you don't keep working every single day, you'll lose ground again. It's a pendulum swinging back and forth. I'm sorry to tell you, but when it comes to human affairs, they never end. Your responsibility is forever. Now, admittedly, this was a bit more of a mellow edition. I find it incredibly interesting as we move into a new cycle how so many people have just moved on. Large accounts who basically claim there was no drug problem and there was no corruption problem, even though it's staring us right in the face, have just moved on to brand new pro-Canada, Team Canada talking points as though they didn't mislead you. And they get massive engagement for it. They could get the same engagement if they told you the truth. We need more truth tellers in society. We don't need more storytellers and engagement farmers. But I digress. The Canadian public memory, not everybody's, but as a whole, it's like that of a goldfish. People just move on wherever they're going to move on to. We're going to focus on continuing to highlight the differences between the United States and Canada. We're going to continue to focus on exposing the scale of corruption and criminality that is rampant in this country and destroying your families and destroying the very fabric of society and arguably eroding our sovereignty. We may still lose the country. The 51st state talk is still on the table. If you have at any point financially supported me, even with as much as $1, I want you to know I appreciate you. I do not acknowledge people individually and I will continue to hold to that policy, but you have to know no matter the amount, I appreciate it. It feeds into the cost. It feeds into keeping me. And, hey, maybe one day I've got a budget and I can go and do cool things out there. It's entirely on you. Just know you're appreciated. And if you'd like to participate, you can go to the website. You can donate. You can sign up for monthly. It's all up to you what you do and how much you value it. And if you can't, I still love you. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.